Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
They say a bad cloud is coming. Everything that goes up comes down. Now it's kind of descending, loud and humming, kind of here and there and all around. And the people on the other side of summer, people on the other side of town, they've been cheated off their cash and pride so long now. Wheel keeps turning round and round. Ooh, 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 ooh. There's a man goes around and claims the church shot down, cause his reputation hit a bottom ground. And the Vatican cleared all the bank accounts, gave the money to the flock, they all went home. So he bought the local church house, built a casino, put it to work, call it Casa Divino. Instant success with a customer base, all bowed away preachers. And the people on the other side of summer, people on the other side of town, they've been cheated off their cash and pride so long now. Wheel keeps turning round and round. Ooh, 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 ooh. There's a hole in the planet under the sea, spitting out corruption, poison and greed. There's a hole in this thing they call economy. If you look on through real hard, here's what you see. You can find out what you want. You can find out what you need. You can find out how to deal with the rising heat. And the people on the other side of summer, people on the other side of town, they've been cheated off their cash and pride so long now. Wheel keeps turning round and round. It everybody knows, underneath is the place where all the bad shit goes. There's an army of sweepers working day and night, trying to put the ugly stuff out of sight. Some of them get paid a dollar a day, some get paid a million, and some don't say. And the pay that keeps them moving is always the same. Once you stop the play, you lose the game. And the people on the other side of summer, people on the other side of town, they've been cheated off their cash and pride so long now. Wheel keeps turning round and round. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They used to say a dark cloud is coming, everything that goes up comes down. Now it's kind of descending, loud and humming, kind of here and there and all around. And the people on the other side of summer, people on the other side of town, they've been cheated off their cash and pride so long now. Wheel keeps turning round and round. Ooh, ooh.
If it sounds country, that's what it is. It's a country song. Not my words, the words of Chris Christopherson, a writer who spoke about the common people when common people were not yet crushed by 40 years of neoliberalism. Well, here we are. Now, to talk us through this and also how indeed a cause is being struck from the point of view of good quality country music, music which has a narrative, it has a sound, it's wonderful, it says things. We're delighted to welcome from Rodeo FM the fantastic Patrick Varta. How are you, Patrick?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Great to connect with your good self. Of course, fascinated in terms of the biography of Rodeo FM, because I've got to say that the music is fantastic, and we've literally just been listening to The People on the Other Side of Summer, which is a great trip from that point of view. But you don't necessarily expect the German country scene to be full of great musicians such as yourself. I mean, country music, obviously, it's expanding. It's going through Europe. And I know we featured Italian country bands. Mm-hmm. We featured bands from other things. But Germany, I don't know, for some reason, never quite made our radar. Our fault, obviously. Rodeo FM is actually moving forward. I mean, you've been playing since 2004. And indeed, I can see comparisons with Tom Petty, The Stones, a whole range of things slotting into place.
Yeah, that's right. It's more like an Americana act. There is actually a country scene in Germany, but how can I put this? It's leaning a bit towards the the rednecks side. So it's pretty classic and common country orientated. And there is hardly an Americana scene, but it's evolving. And I think Americana as a genre is evolving at the moment in Europe, and I've seen a lot of good touring bands that come through Berlin, a lot from the States, but also a lot of good bands from the UK and from other places in Europe. So I think that particular brand or direction of country is actually developing quite well. Yeah. But for the time being, yeah, the scene is small.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, great oaks from little acorns. Things will manifest this. I'll return to the biography on Rodeo FM because I found it really fascinating, this line here. It was when country music, any music, wasn't yet taken over by consumerism and capitalist logic, when punk was still alive, when there was still some sort of class consciousness that has long been buried by the onslaught of oppression, dividing and conquering people along cultural and racial lines. Strong words, but words which I think an awful lot of people have been feeling for the last 20 or so years, really. I mean, that's not to say there haven't been good musicians, there haven't been good bands. There have been a lot of young bands that we've featured who've actually made an impact. But certainly in terms of the sort of bands we mentioned at the start, Tom Petty, Gram Parsons, The Stones and so on, that seems to have faded slightly from the scene. I mean, again, it's a case of, we've literally reached a hegemony that actually what we've got here is something where, we'll just run with this, basically.
I mean, those influences I'm quoting here, they're sort of like the dinosaurs, and they're rooting in a time when there was civil unrest in the 60s and all that, and that's all been swallowed to a degree. I mean, the hippies have all been incorporated, the liberals and the progressives of that time have all gone through the institutions. And so has the music to a degree. But I think at the moment there's new things developing, and that's also partly because, of course, neoliberalism has been discredited through all those crises, but also out of necessity. A lot of musicians are going independent these days and are doing stuff by themselves. They have the opportunity to do this on the internet. I mean, we're doing this ourselves, promoting the stuff ourselves and organizing shows. And a lot of musicians are doing these, there's this circuit of home shows, like where you don't really play clubs anymore, but where you go into people's homes and you actually get some money there. And when you go into a club, you hardly earn any money as a musician anymore. So a lot of those young musicians that are going in this new direction, they sort of carry a sort of progressive agenda with them, I feel. And that's partly because it's a sign of the times, but it's also out of necessity because you know, these corporate structures, they don't serve musicians anymore. Musicians that do, you know, real music to a degree, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's fair to say that actually innovation can often come with a whole range of questions that actually generates fear, because people actually don't like change and there is an innate conservatism. And if you go back to the days of rock and roll, it was very much a reaction against the perceived culture at the time and the dance band culture and so on. That's not to say that dance band culture isn't great and there's a lot of material that actually worked through that, but there is this change. Now, I do know that one of our semi-regular correspondents in the States, Paul Zollo, a music journalist who actually was responsible for the last ever interviews with Tom Petty, of course, would probably share this view. And I think, you know, we need to obviously do a joint piece with that. And obviously R.W. Sanders as well is very passionate about the sort of line that's here. The one thing about Rodeo FM, though, is I have to say that actually the music is outstandingly good. I mean, we've just heard one track. We're going to hear a couple more, etc., as this interview actually proceeds. But again, the sort of balance of you can actually have a message, you can tell a story, you can have a narrative, just as Pete Seeger used to, just as Harry Chapin did, which actually, you know, still is entertaining. You know, there's no reason why you can't actually be entertaining and actually have good quality music. And presumably that's at the heart of what Rodeo FM is about.
Absolutely. We've always tried to, you know, be a bit entertaining. There's, you know, a lot of these singer-songwriters, they're quite self-referential, and I've always tried to avoid this because, you know, you can't always, you know, go on weeping about your own personal misfortune. I think the key, both in music and, of course, in society and in a more general sense, is to push forward and to try to change the agenda actively. But to, you know, unite people behind that. Also, again, in a social sense, you need a vision, and that vision needs to be packaged in a sort of attractive way. And that's what we're trying to do, or what I'm trying to do with these lyrics. I'm trying hard to, you know, have them make sense, you know, and not be, and at the same time have them, you know, have a sort of a message that goes beyond the purely personal.
I once heard
a great quote. Let me just give that quote. I heard a great quote from Public Enemy, actually, because they said that they are also using their music to spread information. And that's also part of what I'm doing, trying to do with these lyrics, you know, gather evidences of what this society is about, gather evidence on how the current discourse is running and what's wrong with it, and just try to articulate that.
Well, we were blown away by The People on the Other Side of Summer. Coming up next, of course, something which I suspect might well have a certain resonance with the BLM movement, with a variety of other aspects as well. Of course, Devil and the Riot. Would you like to just share with us before we hear this what Devil and the Riot effectively relates to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, that song was called The Devil Pays the Bills, which is sort of a situation a lot of people find themselves in. You got to keep quiet, or otherwise you're going to be an outcast, and you're going to be basically, you know, no longer be able to function in this society. So that was the original title. And then when we released it, it was in May, June, there was this whole... all these things that were going on in the US and the riots and all that. And I thought, okay, we actually have to shift this a little and make a statement that is sort of, that goes into the topic of the day. And that's also the reason why we did that video that shows a lot of riot footage that got a pretty controversial reception on Facebook. We're doing some advertising on Facebook in the US to country fans, and we got a small shitstorm. We also got a lot of good reactions from there, but it was pretty mixed and pretty controversial.
We can appreciate that part. I just have to obviously sort of say, even if you're thinking about the German word scheisse, we actually sort of step away from that for that particular area, because obviously it is broadcast radio, so we just need to just ease that. But I know what you're thinking, and I think it's a fair point. And I think it is one of those areas where there is going to be a challenge from there. Anyway, enough chatter for the moment. Let's listen to the tune.
Cool.
That's all I have to say. Absolutely brilliant. An awesome little piece from that. And there's an even better one, I think, actually coming up, which I won't actually sort of give too much away about from this point of view. We're talking to Pat Varta from the band Rodeo FM. Interestingly enough, I actually got in touch, or at least the agency got in touch via our Facebook site. So there we are, new media actually sort of spreading the word, or shall we say social media, spreading the word in terms of this. I mean, is that something where for so long, actually, you would say, as far as music was concerned, the song, everything was there. You just had to do that. You had to perform, etc. There's been a huge shift over the last two decades, which many people have actually seen as partly being utopian, partly dystopian, in terms of the way in which musicians connect with fans. I mean, clearly accelerated during the pandemic that we've all been going through, whether you're in Germany, Britain, California, Nashville, whatever. But there is this sort of sense that, you know, the options that are actually provided are constantly sort of there, that yeah, there are good things that we're doing, like this interview here. I mean, you know, we don't have to fly to Britain, we don't have to fly to Germany, we can actually do it via our health system, we can even see each other. I know it's for radio, but at the same time, it's there. Is it sometimes a case of whether the glass is half full or half empty? You know, what you're trying to do within Rodeo FM is actually fundamentally still rooted in good quality music.
Yeah, of course, that's the base of everything. But, you know, talk about social media. Since we kind of play this year, we've only played like four gigs this year, and three of those were like in January, February. Wow. I've actually taken a lot to social media. We were lucky since we went to the studio in January, so I have like 13 songs of material, and I'm sort of pushing them out very slowly, going to, you know, new modern music marketing methods, one song after another, like every 4 or 6 weeks, another one, instead of the way we used to do it. You know, you have an album and you have one single or one video. Now I spend a lot of time just trying to, you know, improvise a video or get a friend together who has, you know, who knows a filmmaker or whatever, and do a video and then use that and push it out on social media. And that's how I spend a lot of time, you know, contacting people and trying to make connections and pushing the singles. And actually, there's a new single coming out on October 5th. That's the next one of the new album. That's supposed to be out in December. So this is like it's a routine now, you know, spreading out to bloggers and pushing the stuff on Twitter and Facebook and
well, again, it's a way forward. And I know that the next part of the program, we have our regular contributor who actually has her own country music podcast called Country in the Kitchen. I'm sure she'd be keen to get in touch with you as well. That's Tessa Snart. Tessa will be having our tune of the week. But again, I think the range of stuff that you provided is awesome. I've got to say, hats off to the video for Summer Rain, because I love the way in which you mix the images of the raindrops falling whilst the band are actually playing the background. That's really effective. And again, the song, which we're going to close this little piece with, is it's mellow. It's wonderfully, I'm almost tempted to say, subdued, but effective in its impact. It kind of really captures a theme of the sort of pre-Oktoberfest, not that we're going down Oktoberfest, because that's a whole different line entirely, but a sort of notion from that, but a sort of post, the things are changing, but we don't quite know whether they're changing for the better or actually we're going to a brave new world. It's almost as though we're in a kind of hiatus, maybe echoing the whole sort of pandemic thing, that we sort of are doing these things and we're all actively getting involved with these things, such as Zoom interviews, such as new technology, etc. But there's a little bit of uncertainty. I mean, that's what I'm picking up as the listener, as the viewer. I don't know, is that one of the things you had in mind when you were actually writing the piece?
Yes, to a degree, yeah. It's sort of, yeah, this hiatus thing, that sort of hits it, yeah. So this summer rain, well, for me, this is like an idea that things don't change, you know, in all these little scenes that I'm describing in this song that are partly problematic, of course. There is this overarching theme that the summer rain will still, you know, keep bashing against my window. And
that sounds like a disco melody, Pat. Where are we going here?
It's like it's the human condition.
Yeah, well, exactly, and fundamentally, that's pretty much the whole thing. I've got to say, anybody that can actually be part of a musical group that actually has played art and country fairs, demonstrations and symposiums, jazz and beer festivals, weddings and funerals, punk cellars and line dance clubs. It is amazing. It's great for that review. Just, you know, hats off to you. Internationally, obviously, in terms of the American system and so on, just maybe a controversial question. How would you feel about people who say, actually, the thing about Americana is it's just promoting the big American dream once again? It's just sort of selling another system here. What about our own German stories? Or is that just a case of no? Fundamentally, we're human beings sharing time on a tiny rock spinning through space. Let's just get on with each other.
That's a good question. It's a good question indeed. I regard myself as a songwriter, and I picked this genre because it's a great genre to write songs. I wasn't, you know, born and bred with country music. I was socialized with
you know. You're 80s, not going to say Nina at 99 Luftballon, are you? Surely, 99 Luftballon.
Hey, that's a good song. That's a good song.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
No, I was sort of I was raised in the 80s with bands like Dinosaur Jr. or the Rollins Band up until, you know, Nirvana broke, and I was sort of that socialized me, and that's sort of the spirit that I'm still holding. But when I was in my early 20s, I stumbled across one of those Johnny Cash albums in Folsom Prison. And I thought, hey, that is super funny. That is really a great record. And from then, I was sort of hooked and on the whole genre. And then I realized there's a lot of good music, and it's a perfect genre to write these songs and to, you know, make a point. And that's why I really like this music. And if that's pushing the American dream so much, I don't know. I think Americana is more, you know, the flip side of the American dream, even in the States.
Well, it's interesting. You're the second person this week, second musician this week, Pat, who's cited Johnny Cash as being an influence. The other one, of course, being Ben Dalton, who we did a piece with earlier from his particular take on country. So, you know, clearly that album was very much a template and a touchstone for springing off all sorts of things. I'm sure if he's in Heaven FM at present, he'll be sort of looking down and saying it's good to see that his material is still being appreciated and so on. Pat, quick sort of mention in terms of obviously best way forward, would you point people to the website? Would it be rodeo.fm to actually sort of find out details about the band?
Yeah, that's the best way to go. You can go to rodeo.fm and from there to all the social channels we have.
Exactly.
If people are listening, we would be very happy if you liked us on Facebook and on Spotify.
This is good. And I've got to ask the question, you went for Rodeo FM as opposed to Rodeo DAB or Rodeo AM? Just an interesting point there.
Yeah, that's also a good question. Oh, yeah, I remember. We needed a band name pretty quickly, and we needed the URL to go with it. And that's the sort of the name came out of the URL search. So it was rodeo.fm from the start.
Fantastic. Would you like to, I mean, let's just give a few name checks as we wrap up this thing. Name checks for the rest of the band, guys, because obviously it's Pat Varta, which is fantastic, you know, the father of all. Sorry, little English pun there on Varta. but, you know, can you give some name checks to the rest of the guys?
Yeah, so the bass player is Masataka from Japan. The drummer is Dominic, he's from Germany. The guitar player is also a German guy. He's called Desmond Garcia. That's his artist name. And then we have an Italian guitarist, Gigi, and we have also a Macedonian guitarist who had to move back to Macedonia. Unfortunately, Georgi, he was with us for the last 2 years. So that position of the lead guitarist has always been a bit shaky, and we've had quite a lot of lineup changes in the last 10 years. But the drummer and the bass player and me, we've been pretty solid now for the last 6-7 years.
A genuine international lineup there. You've got Japan, you've got Italy, you've got Germany, you've got Macedonia. Yeah. It's amazing. It's all great stuff there. Pat, it's been awesome connecting with the good self. Before we actually go out with Summer Rain, which is my personal favourite, I have to say, we've got two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Well, then the next critical question is, will you be kind enough to come back in the not-too-distant future? Will you chat again with us live on the Midweek Drive?
Absolutely, I'd love to. It'd be great.
Let me tell you about a friend of mine. They broke his mind, they broke his spine. He disappeared, he took a while. Did some mileage, tried to swim. He's back now where he's always been. Same elusive guy within. Funny thing, the skin you're in. And the summer rain is washing up against my window. Sunshine on my head, and sleep I'm in, makes me rush, makes me run. I've been rolling with the tide now, way too long, way too long, way too long, way too long, way too long. Let me tell you about the world of mine, where all the people stand in line, running low on cash and pride, clinging to the desperate act, the plastic bags and worn-out rags, in bread lines and in moldy flats, like water rats inside a trap. Every time a rebel sticks out his head, the powers that be will find the way to see the rebel dead. And the summer rain is washing up against my window, and the stake I claim is the sunshine on my head. And the state I'm in makes me rush, makes me run. Tell you about this heart of mine, this broken, mended, scarred and lined, with all the things I call my life. You just tell me who you are. Well, love comes in a million shards. Why the pain that's in my heart goes to show I ain't so smart. But every time you wonder if it's worth the risk to be beat betrayed, touched by failure, broken and dismissed. Surely you are lucky, no matter how you are crushed, when the last thing that you feel in life is love. And the summer rain is washing up against my window, and the stain
fantastic tune, a really, really fantastic tune. I said that to Pat Farter. I'll say it again. You heard it there, Summer Rain. Probably one of my tunes of the year so far. And the band, of course, Rodeo FM. Not AM, not DAB, but Rodeo FM. But we're talking tunes. Clearly, we're into that segment of the program. If you're listening to this like a wonderful, diligent individual on Wednesday evening, when the time will be coming round to, oh, I don't know, about sort of 5:35, 5:40-ish. What's the time anyway? We've got two fabulous folk now, but most importantly, it's Tessa's Tune of the Week time. How are you, Tessa?
Hello, very well, thank you. Good to be here.
Excellent. Of course, as I say, time being as it is, I'll ask you the question now. Did your nan have a fantastic 90th birthday celebration? Did it all go well?
It did, really, really well. It's my partner's nan's 90th, so...
Oh, well...
All socially distanced, Emil. Yeah. So, yes, as best as...
So no major problems, it all went swimmingly. We knew it would. That's the important thing. And somebody who is not in his 90s, I know. He's in his 20s, 30s, whatever. It's Robin Pierce from Wales. How are you, Robin?
20s plus 20s plus 20s. Thank you very much, sir.
Marvellous. Robin will be giving you his review of the week and more, of course. But now it's time to press that button as we actually reach for the alcoholic beverage and Tessa introduce again this particular thing. And then we'll find out what Robin made of it.
Okay, so my track of the week this week is by an artist called Hallie Kearns, and she's emerging on the country scene, very Kacey Musgraves-like, if you like her, both the modern and traditional country. She's from Missouri, but based in Nashville now, as they all do. And it's kind of, it's her second single. We played her debut single a few months ago on the show, and that was called Pick Me Up, which was really nice because obviously we're living in crazy times and we all need to pick me up. It was a very summery song. And this particular track, it's got the vibes, it's still very summery, but it shows off the artist's sassier side, if you like. So I don't know, Robin, what you think of it or what you'll think of it, but yeah, this is Hallie Kearns and I Can Whiskey.
With my mama sitting to my right, yeah, I'll you light a fire in every part of me. The only thing that saves me is me down in Tennessee. Baby, you're the reason I drink whiskey. Yeah. Yeah, you're the reason I drink whiskey. Yeah.
Well, there we are, Hallie heading off there. Clearly, we wouldn't endorse actually going for any alcohol because it's not good. And as I like to say, think of the liver at the end of the day. You know, I'll say this again, Tessa, think of the liver.
It does actually say on one of her images that she's posted on social media to promote the track, it actually says, please drink responsibly. It's been done quite well. It's quite funny.
Well, yes. Well, Tessa, we could shoot the breeze about this for, well, the remaining sort of 10 minutes of the actual program. But that negates the fact that ultimately it doesn't really matter, even from Country in the Kitchen, what you think about this, what I think about it. It's what does Robin Pearce make of it? Robin, what did you make of Hallie?
Well, I drink whiskey, she says. Not after 10 p.m., love, I say. I did not dislike it. It didn't really lodge itself in my upper cranium. I would call it generic country rock, but as you pointed out, it's Hallie Kern's sort of debut onto the country music scene, and I am more than happy to give it an encouraging 7 out of 10.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad. It's not bad.
That's not. And it is one of those tracks that's more your kind of up and coming country pop, rock, so like your Kelsey Ballerini, things like that. So, yeah, it's not for everyone, but I really like her. And, you know, it's the new wave of country artists that are coming through, so it can only be a good thing for the genre.
But...
Oh, but there's a
butt. There is. What I'm going to be reviewing this week is the Midweek Drive from 19 September. And you brought us two songs on that one. Oh. And let's take these. Let's see. There was...
Are you going to go for the Martin Kemp daughter song first? Or something completely
yes,
different?
We'll do the Martin Kemp's daughter song first. Harley Moon Kemp. She looks like me.
That's the one.
No? I'm afraid that kind of scraped through on a 6.
Oh,
it didn't make gold then. It didn't make gold. And to cut a long story short, clearly they were in Spandau Ballet.
Might as well be Spandex Ballet as far as I'm concerned. Then there was a song called Guilty Flowers. And given the sort of... content of this, I thought, okay, let's give it a listen. And you know what? That's the second best song I have heard all week. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. I loved it.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Now, you might wonder why it's the second best song of the week. I am giving a startling 9 out of 10, Alex, to Tremble Like a Ghost by Rita Braga, who we spoke to this week as well.
She's from Portugal. She's awesome. There, she trembles like a ghost. Tessa, yeah. It's not really country music, but check it out, honestly.
I watched that music video to Tremble Like a Ghost 4 times last night in succession. I even had the family come in to watch it.
Four times, four dates. You got 1925, you got 1944, you got 1984, you got 1965. Yeah. What do they actually refer to? It's more than just song as entertainment. It's song as education as well.
Yes, it's an info melody.
And I'd also give thumbs up, of course, as we've heard them earlier, to the delights of Rodeo FM, an extraordinary band, Tessa. You will like them. If you like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, you'll think this is the German version. Mm.
Okay. I'm definitely going to check. I've got a few to check out now, a few songs to check out.
Well, we like to keep you busy because, after all, there are only so many 90th birthday parties you can actually coordinate and organise in a socially distanced way.
Oh, exactly.
And, of course, when you're not running after a small puppy as well.
Oh, I know. It's like having a baby, it really is.
They are our children. You know, when our children have grown up.
You may have noticed, dear listener, in terms of the sweepstake we actually had on how long Robin and Tessa were going to actually have before they mentioned the puppies, they probably just clocked in at around about 12 minutes in. What the hey? I don't know.
It's downstairs at the moment. We'll have to do another link. I'll do it down in the kitchen and then I can show Robin. We can show you both.
Yes, please. Yeah.
We'll do another one.
And I can have Bo in here.
Yes. See what they make of each other.
Presumably then you want me to actually ensure that we book Zoe as well as to give our veterinary sort of insight into the whole system. Now that obviously she's headed up. Yeah, let's go full on furry animal. Not super furry animals, but full on furry animals.
Just the same midweek drive, super furry animal special.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Robin, we've got 2 or 3 minutes left. Would you like to actually review anything else? And of course, Tessa, anticipating as ever the announcement of most valuable contributor.
We started off with Tessa and the story of Grayson, Stella, the Starling, Tessa and Lois, and a superb, almost Thunderbirds-like rescue operation to save Stella the Starling from Grayson the cat. It was soul-stirring stuff. I loved the story, but I'd seen some visuals on Facebook beforehand anyway. Then he went on to Thomas Roberts, Great Realization, a story about the pandemic and lockdown. I was kind of thinking that maybe we'd hear a bit of the poem, but we didn't really. So
anyway, performance. I thought I'd save that so you can go onto YouTube and actually listen to it in person. Tomfoolery.
Anyway, he said that, you know, my dad's from North Wales, just next to Liverpool. Well, I always thought that the capital of North Wales was actually Chester, but there we go. A little bit disappointed I didn't get to hear any of his poem. Then we heard from Roger Black and Mark Gilbert, most people have put £5 on during the lockdown. Now, weight is something that can affect my health quite sharply, so I've been trying to keep it under control. Gym is a no-go for me these days because it's a petri dish of infection as far as I'm concerned. So I've been trying to keep a tight rein. I've noticed maybe £2, which can, you know, just get lost. But as they said, keeping it off is the tough part. You can get rid of it anytime, but the willpower to keep it off is where I falter. Then we came to the meat of the thing. Your weekly, you know, fencing and riposte with Richard Fitzwilliams. I'm not a Bill and Ted fan, and I haven't seen the second or the third. But I can, of course,
to one another. Be excellent to one another.
Yeah. I can see the course, of course, the need for escapism and lightheartedness, particularly in the current climate. But Richard does seem to take everything a lot too seriously. And he goes and sees possibly the most dour films I can ever imagine avoiding in my life. And if there's one message that, if I can be so presumptuous as to try and pass to
it's a Richard, painted bird, a painted bird.
Richard. It's only a movie. Lighten up. Have some fun. You will live so much longer. The state of the release slate, though, I don't think I'll be returning to the cinema anytime soon. This isn't because of any fear of mine, because I've already been 3 times. It's the lack of films on release. I think it's all very well re-releasing older films to people who haven't seen them. But if I'm going to take the risk of going into a cinema, show me something that, you know, I haven't seen and I don't have on the shelves behind me. We need to support the film industry, but we also need to measure our risk. So you can't support an industry that's not producing anything new, and they can't release the new stuff to audiences who aren't turning up. So it's a catch-22 situation. I mean,
Disney Plus and send it online.
Absolutely, but
for extortionate prices.
Well, extortionate, 20 quid, as many people as want can watch it, versus 2 cinema tickets. It still sounds good to me, but I just don't want to see the live action Mulan. We could be discussing the death knell of the industry as we know it here, but Richard, I won't be seeing any one of your films. I'm sorry. None of those two.
Just listen to what he says tomorrow morning. It's honestly makes this mild by comparison. Makes these two look like the Mary Poppins of the world.
Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. I do have a contributor of the week, and it's somebody who actually regularly goes above and beyond whenever this person is doing a show. The enthusiasm and lack, and the amount of knowledge is just incredible and infectious, and there can only be one, okay? Tessa, take a bow.
Oh, Robert!
Everything you do, I just think it's fantastic, because you've got such enthusiasm, you've got such your music, the country music thing isn't my thing, but I can recognize the same level of enthusiasm and commitment that I try to bring to, you know, reviewing films, whatever I do, whether it's writing, whether it's on the radio. I see exactly the same thing in you, and I just think, my God, you know, in about 40 years' time, she is still going to be here, but she will have gone so much further than I can ever dream of going. I just hope to be around to see it all.
Thank you. Well, isn't that the great thing as well about this show? Because we can all share our passions. We've all got very different passions, but I think we're all equally interested in each other's, if that makes sense.
And absolutely.
So that's what's nice. We can share it with each other.
You know what? I think I should give myself a special award this week,
because
I spoke so quickly during that last segment, I didn't get tongue-tied once.
You know what? That was pretty good going, because it is very difficult.
And so we come to the end of another awesome award. Well done, Tessa. I think probably the first time you've ever been able to actually receive the virtual most valuable contributor from the Robin Pierce household in a virtual sense, which is fantastic. And before anybody actually wants to say and send in messages to say things such as, so is this what it's come to now? One furry animal lover actually supports another furry animal lover. Don't worry, nothing to do with that. It's completely objective. I can vouch for that. Very important.
It is professional admiration and respect.
Don't start to think too far.